Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks. I had to go about it, write it out, and find it
myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. It's the Final Word Cricket Podcast with Adam Collins. Today, a short ep, but a very sweet one too. A conversation with Neil and Joy Maxwell, the parents of you-know-who. Recorded in the family home where Glenn grew up, this will give you a sense of how it is riding the wave of his career from their unique perspective, and the thrill of what it's like for them when everything clicks, as it did so spectacularly against Afghanistan during the World Cup a few weeks ago. Before getting into the chat, a reminder that the guest at our live show on Monday at the Corner Hotel is, of course, Glenn himself. It's sold out now, but if you are coming along, be sure to bring your Maxwell for Australia t-shirts. Or if you haven't got one yet, League Tees will be in attendance to sort that out, and I'm sure he'll be happy to sign them all. Our pals at Fisher Classic Prints will also be there if you're looking for the perfect cricket-themed Christmas gift. From there, our attention will turn to our Sydney live show on the 7th of January. That's night 5 of the Pakistan Test at the SCG. Tickets are still on sale for that one. Grab yours by hitting the link in the show notes today. Our guest announcement for that is coming soon. This episode, like everyone that we're producing throughout the Australian summer, is brought to you in partnership with Cbus Super. 40 years of long-term net returns and providing working people with access to the magic of compound interest has been transformative. This has provided members with comfort and security that their parents and certainly their grandparents would barely have believed possible. Heading into this, the 40th anniversary year, Cbus thanks their founding members, unions, employers and leaders for their vision, hard work and lasting legacy. Their collaboration improved and continues to improve the lives of working people across the country. Year after year, Cbus's default investment option Growth My Super has delivered strong results for members, returning an average of 8.89% per year since inception some 39 years ago. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance. Jump on cbussuper.com.au and get your super sorted out. Right, on with the show and off to South Belgrave. All right, it's the Final Word Cricket Podcast, Adam Collins, and I'm sat in the kitchen of, well, Glenn Maxwell's childhood home. Sat opposite his parents, Neil and Joy. Great to have you both on. I know that you're not sort of that enthusiastic about us putting the mics on, but believe me, this is a friendly place, and looking forward to talking to you and hearing from you about, I suppose, the roller coaster that must be being the parent of an international superstar. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Adam. It's lovely to have you here.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's just nice being, you know, in suburban Melbourne, not a long way from where I grew up. But, I mean, this is Glenn's home, isn't it? Like, this is where he grew up. It's not as though you've moved here at some point when he's made his millions in the IPL. I mean, you have been lifers of this.
Home for the whole of his life, yeah. Hmm.
So when he comes back here, it must be quite a grounding experience for him, and indeed for you, having him back here when he sort of does laps of the world.
Yes, he often pops over to the cricket club across the road and, you know, reminisces with the boys, and it's great.
That's the one thing I noticed when driving down, Neil. I mean, it's literally across the road. South Belgrave Cricket Club, you know, when we speak of the local club, that's effectively his backyard.
It is, yeah. Like every night after school, basically he dragged me over to the nets to throw balls at him. So, yes, it's nice and handy. We've even got our own little track which goes through the oval. If you actually look across the road, you'll see the track through, which is actually the one we actually made to get to the nets.
To make it even quicker.
Yes. Shortcut. So a
shortcut.
And they actually installed a gate for us, actually in the fence, so that we could get through.
With a lot of kids growing up
there's been, well, there's often a lot made of the circumstances upon which they grew up in their backyards and so on. And do you draw any links to the way he plays, the way the unique approach he has to batting, to the backyard and I guess the hill and the slope here that was his pitch?
Yeah, it's probably so. Like you really did have to manufacture a few shots out there on that wicket. It's a very difficult wicket, you just have to say.
Yeah.
I think actually people probably get the wrong idea about Glenn because when he was a kid, he was a very, very traditional player. Very straight, very normal. It wasn't really until probably his late teens that he sort of managed to develop his game in a slightly different direction. But he was always a very correct player.
That's quite interesting that there wasn't a natural thing for him to play extravagantly, that he kind of learnt a more conventional form of cricket before branching out?
Yeah. Well, he was actually, up until about the age of probably about 14, 15, he was actually quite a small kid. He grew in a hurry after that, but up to that point of time, he didn't have a lot of strength, and hitting boundaries probably wasn't necessarily a strong point. But when he got to a certain age, when he started to build on a bit of muscle and bulk, not this huge anyway, but then obviously he started to hit boundaries. And I think as soon as that started to happen, I think that's when his desire to do that more, I think sort of grew.
And that nature nurture, that age-old question, Joy, I mean, is there cricket in either of your families specifically, or was it more that, you live across the road from a club and he's living that pretty common boyhood experience?
Neil played cricket. Yeah. My brother played cricket. Mm. I think that, both our families, we've always been sort of sporty, but not to the extent of Glenn, but always interested in getting out and playing tennis or netball or whatever.
And got older siblings, which, you speak to the sports science types, they always point to having older siblings as a pretty good determining factor of going on to play high-level sport. So, be it out in the backyard or in the house or whatever it is.
Both Lisa and Daniel were very sporty.
Very sporty.
So, it's natural that they would just spend time with their little baby brother throwing balls to him or... taking him out for a run and all those sorts of things. So they were always, playing outside or even inside.
Yeah.
But there were always balls flying around our house inside.
Yes.
Never a broken window either, which was pretty miraculous.
Never dropped a catch.
Nothing else. Just jumping to the present day, having had the 6 weeks on the field that he has, winning the World Cup, but of course the extraordinary individual performances, not least what happened against Afghanistan. Talk us through what that's like for the two of you. Yes, middle of the night, but the extent to which you can sit up all through it and the roller coaster of emotions that must go hand in glove with
following
his career.
Some of us sat through it.
How did it work out that with you two?
The 201. I was at my daughter's house for the night, babysitting her son and her dogs, because she was away. So we were separated, and I thought he might go to bed because, batting second, he needed his sleep. And I was in my daughter's bed with my phone on KO, trying to get a signal and trying to maintain it. When he got to 100, I texted Neil and said, "Did you see that?" And I didn't get a reply. And I thought, oh, he's asleep, he's going to get a surprise when he wakes up. Anyway, I couldn't stop watching. And, of course, then, he collapsed on the ground. I thought he was having a fit. I was really upset, but I didn't dare call him because I thought I'd lose my connection to KO in the middle of the night. And anyway, as soon as he got, once he started playing again, I was, reassured that, it was okay, and just kept watching and couldn't believe it. I was just gobsmacked. He was amazing. Phoned him as soon as it was finished. Did you see that? And he's like, what? Obviously sound asleep. And I just said, Glenn's just made 201, not out. You have to watch it. He goes, I'm up. I'm watching it.
So you got it in time for the...
Yeah.
I switched it on straight away, watched the replay straight away.
Yes.
And all the way through. So okay, I was a little late coming to the party, but...
I couldn't sleep after that. And, of course, that was when we had an Optus outage. And, yeah, so couldn't get back onto it. And
yes, that's right. It was, yeah.
Because we're both with Optus.
I think that adds to the mystique of the morning. I wasn't in Australia at the time, but from what I gathered from mates who were with Optus... It was old school. It was like chucking on the television or the radio to get the updated what had happened and so on. I don't think that's divorced from the magic of that morning. But I guess waking up to it, quite a relatable experience for 20 million Aussies who would have been interested in knowing what had happened. But for you personally, I mean, that must be just thoroughly overwhelming knowing as a cricketer yourself what 201 not out in, and I'm sure you would have been told it was 7 for 90 odd at one stage, what that constitutes.
I don't think we actually went into that detail. Only got to the point of saying,
you've got to get out and watch this.
You've got to get out and watch this. He's 201 not out. And from that point onwards, then I discovered all the rest of it. But we've watched it.
We've watched it many times since.
20-odd times or something since.
Many times.
Yeah, I sometimes ask cricketers that if they watch their own performances back on YouTube later. Most of them say yes because they use it as a source of inspiration during tough times.
Yeah.
But I suppose as a contemporary cricketer, he'd never be far away from it, right? He'd be getting questions about it or talked to about it every day and the same for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Message him and, you know, later on I said to him, do you know what you've done? And he goes, you know, it's good, but it's going to take a while to sink in.
Mm. Yeah. Did you sense that immediately? Did you sense, because there are various points in that tournament, right? There's the 40-ball 100, which breaks all the records. Were you awake for that? That was first innings, right?
Yes, I saw that one.
You saw that one.
Yeah. And it's just when you think that Maxwell Mania can't get any more, then there's the double 100. But, as people were trying to place it, we were all trying to place it where it sat, in the list of great innings. I mean, it's hard to mount a case there's ever been a better one-day innings ever played, right? I think most cricket people arrived at a similar conclusion in the context of it being a World Cup. You know, walking on a hat-trick ball, 7 for 90, 201 not out, all of the different metrics and even just the drama of being able to barely move and straight-legged sixes and ending it the way that he did, all of these various bits. Yeah. Did you guys sort of realise, dear me, this is going to be something that people are talking to him about and thus you and your families about for the rest of your lives?
Oh, yes. We had so many messages too. It was amazing. People asking us, how did he do it? And is he okay? And, as a mother, that was my main worry. I was so proud of him, but so worried. What did that do to his body? That was horrendous. And the amount of sweat and... how he was lying on the ground and, what happens to a person when that's going on? I mean, I think the adrenaline kept him going afterwards and he was smiling and everything, but, the recovery must have been...
pretty horrendous.
Horrible.
Yes. Well, it's straight out the back of the falling off a golf cart as well, let's remember. I mean, having to go through the concussion protocols.
That was awful. And, nobody seemed to care. They seemed to think, He'd done that to himself by being, a fool or, mucking around or whatever. Mm. I mean, as a mum, I probably don't really know the full story, but, he was on a moving vehicle and fell off onto concrete. What does that do? He had grazes all over his back and shoulder and, plus a huge gash in the back of his head. Mm. Just imagine your body hitting the ground like that.
Yeah.
That's, it wasn't going at speed, but it's still horrible.
Yeah.
And it could have been so much worse, and after all he's done to get himself back from that broken leg, which again wasn't his fault, but, he's just done an amazing job, superhuman effort to be out there performing.
Especially
when he had such a horrible break.
Especially when the surgeon didn't think he'd actually make it back either.
So.
Well, there's that. Mm. Feels like with both the broken leg and the golf cart incident, that people were very quick to arrive at their own conclusions, and to ultimately to judge and to say, well, this fits into a narrative that we've decided is him, or whether the extent to which that's true, whatever. It's more that a lot of people rush to judgment. That must be difficult as parents, like seeing your boy be not criticised
for being a person. He's just being a person. He's like had a game of golf, or played a couple of games of golf, and and they've just jumped onto the cart to go back to the bus. What is he doing? He's 35. That's what he's doing. Anybody would be doing that.
Prime of his life sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Being a normal human being.
How many things do people do that you can judge as being stupid?
And I've always wondered, how much of that...
Run across the road. Yeah. If he runs across the road and, a person on a bike bangs into him, he's the idiot, very judgmental, about a person who's just going about his life, like he was at the party, he's just being at a party, an adult.
And the trauma that ensued with not having the ambulance, and he's told that story in great depth, but I saw him in India earlier in the year, and he was obviously in a lot of trouble still, clearly, with what he was able to do physically and to make that return. But that got built into this or baked into this idea. And I've always pondered or speculated that it kind of goes back to the way that he bats, and people see him as the batter and they conclude, well, if he bats that way, then that surely must be the way that... does that...
Not quite.
Right, but
almost like he's a character. He's not real, he's a character. He's not a person. He's not a son, a brother, a teammate. He's this character that's the big show, it's weird.
And do you feel like, with all of that said, that because of what happened against Afghanistan, I hate to bring it all back to that, but so much of this story will with him, finally it might have just clicked for the Australian public and the wider public, that's what he is, we get it now. Rather than being too reductive about him as a cricketer, that they now have a better feeling and a better handle on why he's been given the opportunities over a long and productive career that he has.
It was brilliant to see him have that innings, because, we've always known he's capable of playing like that. That's how he plays. That's how he plays. It doesn't always come off. He can, get out there and go out for a duck, or, get the blame because, he's come in at six down or whatever, and then he goes out playing what everybody calls a silly shot, and he gets the blame for, the team losing, which is, very harsh.
Yeah.
But this innings that he played, it all came together, and it was just... amazing, and that is him.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Does it take a thick skin for the two of you when it's rugged for him, as it often has been throughout a long career in the public eye, when people have taken their shots and so on, as is the rough and tumble of the public domain, I guess. How have you managed your own intake of news and social media and these types of things? Can you divorce yourself from all of that, or do you kind of get plugged in?
You can't divorce yourself entirely. You can discount a lot of it. People will say silly things and just ignore it, but some of it gets through.
Glenn always says to me, don't read it.
Yeah.
But I can't help it.
Joy's more
I read most things, I do get upset.
Yeah,
I really want to reply, but I know I can't.
That's guaranteed headline.
I know I can't, so absolutely. I just go to Neil.
I just say calm down, it's okay.
Yeah.
And some of that happens a long way from home as well, right? Like, given how much time he spends on the road each year, much of that time in the Indian Premier League and other domestic tournaments, distance.
It's not so bad actually when he's in India, because there's not a lot of criticism when he's actually in India, funny enough. It's the Indians love him, so it never seems to be so much of a problem. It's probably only when he was playing, for Australia, in Australia or whatever, then it gets bad.
And just the idea of him being away a lot, that's the other thing with being an international sportsman that, or anyone that works in a job that's away from their family a lot, especially if you've got a strong relationship, trying to find ways to normalise that.
Yes, yeah. We do a lot of FaceTime and things like that. But, you know, like, I mean, when they're in a team environment, they're, you know, they've got their teammates and...
Yeah.
But they do have a lot of downtime where they're just in their room by themselves and, you know, it sort of does get lonely. It is a hard life. You know, even though people say, oh, you know, they get paid well and they're, you know, well looked after, which is very true, but it is a monotonous life. It's a difficult life. Just with this last T20 series, you know, they were travelling, training, playing. Travelling, training, playing. It was just one thing after another. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's a very hard regimen, really. And even if you've got your family with you, it's very hard for them to go on that with babies and little children and, you know, like...
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Very tough.
Well, I suppose that for anyone who's in the support network of someone who's got a high-profile job, and, yeah, at the end of the day, it is his job, right?
Yeah.
That you all get swept up in that. And you all play your own roles in supporting him at different points through his life. But, do you sometimes feel as though, now let me word this carefully, but your own identity is so wrapped up in his performances now, which obviously you've got your own agency as your own human beings and been around a lot longer than he has. But is that an odd experience where so much of your own...
Yeah, sometimes it's just, you know, you get introduced as Glenn Maxwell's mum.
Yes, or Glenn Maxwell's dad. Know, like, yes. I get that a lot. Yeah.
But, you know, like I'm my own person.
Mm.
And you think, oh, you know, like how many people just want to know you because you're his mother? That's a little bit weird. That takes a little bit of getting used to it. But, you know, I mean, we've got our friends. We know who like us as people, not just because who our son is.
Must require time to build up a filter to that because, right, you know, suddenly you're thrust into this world of these people who have these profiles and you know who they are. They may not necessarily know who you are outside of what your kid's doing. That must take a bit of time to build up.
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah.
I don't think we're really...
We don't really have a huge circle anyway. I mean, you know, we're both retired and our circle of friends is very...
I've got some golf mates.
Tight.
But... I play golf with every 3 weeks. But
Well, what did you guys work in when he was growing up?
I worked at Random House Publisher and Neil.
I was IT manager for 15 odd years with Reg Hunts.
Yeah.
And you've been retired through the duration of, you know, most of what he's been?
Yeah, for the last, I've been about 5 or 6 years.
So I suppose that means you get plenty of time. And I know you've been grandparents before, but now that you get the experience all over again with the arrival of Logan Maverick, what a name that is. Honestly, belter of a name that is.
That's a belter.
And getting that experience to be with them together as a three in the last couple of, about last week and a half or something like that?
He's the little one's 3 months old, he's doing very well. He's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and, I mean, that was really hard for Glenn too. He had to leave when Logan was 4 weeks old and now, or three, 2 weeks old, maybe? 2 weeks old.
Mm.
And, didn't see him again till he was 6 weeks old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it was really hard for him to, you know, miss out on those few weeks of early life. And, so I think now he's getting back into the swing of finding out what it's like to have a little baby around, even though, you know, when they were travelling together in India, he realised that, you know, little babies cry a lot. Hopefully they'll get back into the swing of a good routine now.
Felt interesting during that World Cup how often he would say exactly that, like after a big or small performance, he kept saying, well, right, back to being a dad. He's really taken to that with, most people do, I guess, but with real enthusiasm, and that's job number one, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Make great dad.
And I suppose for you guys, it'll be a case of as the roller coaster ride continues in the next couple of years or however long his career continues, knowing that there'll be a point where he doesn't play anymore, where you'll be a lot closer physically with him doing less travel, and that'll be something to look forward to when it's all over.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it will.
It'll be nice to sit down and talk to him about it, and his whole life. So it will be good.
It's brilliant. Look, thank you both for taking the time to have a chat today in your kitchen here. It's lovely to get some the other perspective of what it's like to be part of Glenn's world and central to it. And may his career continue to bring you much joy over the time that he has left.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah, I hope so. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
This is The Final Word. Thanks to Joy and Neil. Lovely people and proud parents. I really enjoyed that, and I hope you did as well. After we hit stop, I went into the backyard to get a look at Glenn's childhood pitch. And as his old man described in our interview, there's a slope right across it that puts Lords to shame, and there are various crevices there right on a good length. So through that, you can get a bit of a feel for why the unorthodox has come so naturally to him throughout his career. There's also a lemon tree at the bottom of the garden where the fruit contributed to his power-hitting practice, whacking them over the fence to his neighbours, who at the time were in some dismay, but I suspect they forgive him now. In closing, to support Jeff and me getting to make all the episodes that we do each week, visit patreon.com/thefinalword and get your pledge in for our history show, Storytime. This weekend, we have not one, but two guest hosts, Daniel Norcross and Bharat Sundaresan, teaming up to tell the tales of the game's past. I suspect that'll be worth listening to. patreon.com/thefinalword to get involved with all of that. And I'll pop a link in the show notes to buy a maxi for Australia shirt from League Tees if you're not coming to the live shows. And if you are, get one on Monday at the Corner Hotel. All right, thanks to Cbus Super, and thanks for listening. Bye for now. I had to go about it.